I saw a play a little while ago at the Matrix Theater called Scraps. And it was something that had me thinking for quite some time. And I sat there and I was thinking while I was watching it, and I was just mesmerized by what was going on stage. And I thought, I really need to have the person that's responsible for this come onto the show. And so I'm really happy to welcome to the show Geraldine Inoa.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
This play captures something very powerful from the very beginning. It's something that people don't really see a whole lot. So first I want you to tell people, just give people a synopsis of what the play is about.
So Scraps is a play that, from a plot standpoint, takes place after the death of a young black man. Forrest Winthrop has been shot by a white police officer, and he was unarmed. It's sort of modeled after all the stories that we hear in the media. However, Scraps takes a left turn. And that's the story that the play introduces, but what the play actually does is it deconstructs the grief and the trauma of all the people that lived on after the young man was killed, after Forrest died. And so basically the play is an exploration into the aftermath of what happens after these violent acts are committed, and it basically deconstructs the white supremacy that led to it. And that's the first part of it, but it's also, its mission is to put this story about what happens after the aftermath of a police act into the context of Western narrative. And so essentially it is also a deconstruction of black performance in theater. And so it's also a deconstruction of genre and the fact that where black suffering has been allowed to live in the canon. And it sort of subverts the literary limitations that used to exist on black people in story, and it explodes that with a surprise that I won't give away.
And it is quite a surprise, folks. So when you go to see this play, you're going to have a very heavy surprise at the end of it. One of the things that you watch when a play is winding down, and you're watching the intensity of the audience's engagement with it, and in this play, when that was happening, you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, when this is over, there's going to be an eruption. And it was clear there was an eruption in the audience. People just like were on their feet immediately. You also talk about in the beginning of this, I mean, just so people know, when you were talking about what the play is about, this idea of, I read where you said you, in Ferguson, where you talked about the impact of what happened in Ferguson with Michael Brown. And, you know, that was something that I think really was a major step in people recognizing the particular oppression of black people in this country.
Yeah.
And to see that body laying there.
Right.
And to think about all the people that were impacted by that. To see, you know, his mother, his family, his
right.
friends. And the body was just left laying there. On the one hand, it said, you don't mean anything to the world. At the same time, it was something that really did mean something to people. People understood what it said about this society and the humanity of black people in this society. And I'll just say this, in your play, that actually seems to be, for the whole first act, that's the thing that's there all the time.
Yeah.
And then it unfolds for other people. In relation to that, I thought it was very heavy on it. So
yeah, absolutely. I think I'm really glad you noticed that. Thank you so much. I mean, one of the things that I think makes the first part of the play so evocative is that it really is this deconstruction that goes a whole other level that we've sort of been given access to with social media, because we feel like these tragedies are, we feel them realer now. Like, it just feels like, because we have videos of the last moments that these people are alive, or sometimes we have the actual death on film, we have this much more visceral experience of the dehumanization of the black body. But in my play, I tried to basically take that, the spirit of that notion, and make it a ghost story, because that's what all of these are. I mean, if you look at these videos, and I try to like limit my viewing of that because I don't think it is okay to consume human trauma in that manner. It's kind of voyeuristic and it speaks to like the darkest parts of the human mind, you know, the idea that Schadenfreude, taking people's pleasure and people's pain and stuff like that. But I feel like by placing it in my play, like in literary form, like a ghost story, you can sort of see the weight that that body carries, because even without actually appearing in the play, Forrest Winthrop is the main character. And that's the thing that I've been doing. I basically took this like phenomenon that's been happening through the proliferation of social media and the rise of being able to watch these events in real time, or feeling like you are because you're seeing the performance of it on film. And I tried to translate that into literary form and to go even deeper and to see like what life would have been captured if the cameras had stayed longer. Mm-hmm. What life would have been captured if the camera was interested in interviewing people past the immediate aftermath. Because that's what Scraps is actually about. Scraps is a play that is not concerned in the immediate aftermath of police violence, because the immediate aftermath has been dissected and criticized and deconstructed by white publications, by black publications, by the family. That's the only part of the trauma that America has talked about. And the thing that matters to me most is what happens afterward, because as a person who's been through a lot of trauma myself, I have a very good understanding that even though traumatic events are what happens, like if you were to sit around and collect the number of hours that I've actually been abused, and you stood that in relation to the amount of the impact that those hours had on my life, you would be astounded. Because the actual death of Forrest Winthrop, or the Michael Brown, or the beating of Geraldine and Noah, or the rape, or whatever happened, happens in a split second. But what actually changes your life is all of the moments afterwards, because when trauma hits, it breaks your brain, and what rebuilds in its aftermath is what I'm interested in.
You're listening to The Michael Slate Show on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, and we're talking with playwright Geraldine Inoa about her play, Scraps. That's really interesting in terms of this one thing of a lot of the first act of the play revolves around a stoop.
Yeah.
In Brooklyn, in Bed-Stuy, and it's like, there's a certain universality there that exists in terms of black people's lives, that things unfold in that kind of community that's set there. But you're looking at, and exactly what you're saying, you're, this presence of the dead person without being part of the play in a standard sense of it being a part of the play, you actually uncover something where the impact of what has been done to this individual, but then stepping back, and if you have any knowledge of what life is like for the vast majority of black people in this country, you have to recognize, one, the horror of understanding, but the beauty you brought to it, I thought was really important, that people got to see how incidents like this, how crimes like this actually impact people, but impact black people deeply, and not because it was their friend, but because there's a certain overall oppression that exists in the world. And one of the things I really found very, very important in your play is the presence of that stoop and what gets discussed there, and the various people that come into that. They're all from the same neighborhood, and they're all friends in the past and whatever, and even to a certain extent in the current time. But there's a lot of things going on that are, yes, there's the murder of this young man, but then there's also the murder in a bigger sense of what people are living through.
Right.
You know? So
absolutely. I really thank you. Your reading of the play is so exquisite, I have to say. It really is. It's really moving to me. And I'm with you 100%, because while you were talking, I was thinking about how the play, basically, I think one of the strengths of the first act is that if the play really goes wildly through these conversations on the stoop, this like very ordinary place where black life congregates in the play. And the stoop is sort of a metaphor, because it's like, it's a place where everybody meets, but it doesn't move. And it's supposed to show you, or it's supposed to at least be one example of the momentum of these people's lives. The thing is, like, these people are stuck. you know? And I've sort of, like, been flashing, like, in my life and in my, like, thinking and in coming back to this play that, like, if you think of life as, like, a story and you think, what do people need in order to move forward? They need a want. They need to want something and they need obstacles that they can get through. And what Scrap shows you by putting it through this particular story of the danger and the mortality of black life in America, it shows you that the story of blackness in America is stuck because we want things and there are obstacles in our way that we cannot overcome. And that's what the stoop and all these conversations about the stoop is supposed to represent, that these people's desires for their life to continue is being unfortunately thwarted by a system that has decided that whatever wants they want, they can't overcome. And the story of the play really is that the death of their friend sent a message to every one of them that they could be next. And what you're watching is four people go through the, like, crisis of realizing that at any moment in America, because they're black, because they're living in a society that considers that a detriment to their existence, there's a hit on them, there's a target on them. And so in a weird way, it's this, like, ghost story, but it's also, like, four people with, like, a hit on them reacting in real time, like, how do I advance my story and move the plot of my life when there's a hit on me?
See, that is so important for people to understand in terms of generally in society and in relation to black people, what has happened to black people from the moment they were brought here to today, to us sitting in this room.
Yeah.
And see, that's one of the things that was, there was a beauty to your play, that there was that one scene, well, the way people were grappling with the horror of their friend being killed and the anger about one person about seeming to have gone away and come back, but has it all made for them and other people who are whatever, all the different dynamics that were on that stoop. But then you had something that was really beautiful. And it was something that reminded me of when I was a kid, because it's the music came in and the stoop and the dancing and the singing. But even there, it was something that was a concentration and it really meant something to people, and it helped them to seize their humanity.
Yeah.
And it was so important that it was there.
Yeah.
And then, you know that it's a temporary thing too.
Yeah. Yeah. The music, I'm really just, like, moved by everything. No, really, I want to weep. It's so incredible to have my work seen in this way, because I worked for so long on this play and I feel like people are just starting to see it, you know? And it brings me deep sadness to say that I wrote something that is still relevant, because my play is about a tragedy on my country and my community and people like me that I thought would end, you know, but it's a horror that is going to continue on and on, and we just have to get through it. But that moment that you call out, where the music sort of unlocks this, like, communal aspect, it is supposed to be like, if you read into it with the history of blackness in America, like, music has been this, like, otherworldly element that could be summoned upon. It's the one moment in the play where everyone stops their story and they just join in and they become one. It's the moment in the play where everyone who in this play has absolutely no reason to ever dance or like sing or celebrate completely releases all of the things that they've been desiring and just gives in to this community, like, building moment. And it's just wonderful that you brought that up.
Yeah. As you're talking, I'm thinking, exactly. Okay, we're running down on our time, but I wanted to ask a couple more questions. One is someone that had a very minor role in terms of appearance, but also was critical to this because it represents the other side of things. Damn, you did a good job with that cop.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, the cop is, I don't think I'm giving anything away by saying, probably the least said the better.
Yeah, okay, yeah. All right. But it's just for people to know that the arrogant swagger was enough, because it captured a whole set of relations in this society.
Right.
And that arrogant swagger was really, it comes in the midst, including in the scene you were just talking about.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah. Yeah, the tension.
Yeah,
well, the thing is, what's interesting is in the play, up until that moment, whiteness has been the villain, but it has never truly appeared on stage. And so when you see whiteness enter the play, it changes it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and especially whiteness when it's a, let's just be honest, whiteness when it's a pig that right. comes in and does this, right?
Yeah.
So it's sort of, you know, yeah, and that's actually very important. I have one more question for you, which is, you've said that, and I think this is really important, that theater is truly the most brilliant way of weaponizing language. And I wanted to talk to you about that. I'll just say this, without saying another word about the second act, the response of people afterwards was so remarkable. I mean, I thought it was just really, people were out of their seats immediately. And it's a challenging end. You know, I'll leave it at that. It's a challenging end for a lot of people that were there. But I wanted to ask you this, because you've said that it's truly the most brilliant way theater of weaponizing language. And I wanted to ask about that, because I think there's something very, very important in that statement.
Absolutely. Weaponizing language. So, I mean, to me, the reason why I love theater the most is, as a person who has survived a lot of trauma and as a person who is interested in how do I prevent that from happening from other people, how can I help other people, as a trauma survivor, I've looked through the arsenal of America looking for a weapon against the world, and the only weapon that I can find that actually changes people in the way that I intend to, which is deeply and like through a place of empathy and compassion, is language. Because language is the entire way that we understand the world. Language is something everyone has in common. And so basically in this medium, I can take language and weaponize it in a way that it'll reach people that I will never be able to speak to. And so the brilliance of theater is that you can use language to build an entire world. Like, I don't have camera setups. I don't have all these other shortcuts that other mediums allow us to hone in. And so with language, I have to construct a story and get you in and keep you satiated for the duration of the play. And to me, that because it is one of the most challenging mediums, that is one of the most fascinating ways to, like, crack open what is essentially, like, my plays, I look at them as, like, I don't know, they're like little soldiers. You know, there's, like, one soldier that is trying to fight the battle of black performance in the narrative. And then I have another play that's, like, trying to fight the battle of queerness in a heteronormative world. And, I mean, I'm not a violent person, but I'm angry. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. On that note, folks, you've got to see this play. It's an incredible piece. It's called Scraps. It's at the Matrix Theater. It's running from now through what?
September 15th.
September 15th. So you got a lot of time to get down and see it once or twice or three times. Bring your friends. Let everybody know about this. It's a very important play. And Geraldine, I want to thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure.